Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing well, bro.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Praise God. I'm doing awesome.
All right. Well, praise God. We are so excited, guys, because we finished up our little series this week. We've been talking a lot about false prophets, and we even dealt into false prophets and angels. And guys, I just wanted to push you guys towards our Instagram page, Facebook page, YouTube channel. Get in touch with us on social media because we are all over that stuff. In fact, I think I've been on today on Facebook debating with and having some nice discussion with those who differ with us concerning soteriology or the doctrine of salvation and how God saves. And it's always good to be on there, especially whether you're like-minded or not. It's nice to have a discussion, and we will always be brotherly as long as you are, and we won't kick you off our page as long as you can do so in a biblical fashion. But guys, yeah, follow us, Good Fight Ministries. Find us on Facebook. Find us on YouTube. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, wherever you can find us, guys. We are on there, and we are trying our best to make sure that it's a place where believers can be edified, that you don't come on our page and see a bunch of nasty, atheistic nonsense that you typically find all over the internet. And so I hope you guys are really, really blessed by it. And speaking of that, this is a subject, the one we're going to be talking about on this episode, this is a subject that can cause some division. People can get really upset when it comes to this specific topic. And it is an eschatological topic. It's a topic on the end times, eschaton or the eschatology. And I typically have been sneaking this in on Thursdays. We've been digging into a few different eschatological topics, whether it was preterism a few weeks ago we talked about for, I think, two different episodes. We also talked about the millennium last week. And I know if you guys go to Blessed Hope Chapel's Facebook page or our YouTube channel, you can also find a Q&A session that Joe did for the Sunday service recently. And the question of the millennium came up, and who will populate it? So I'm really excited for you guys to check that out because that has been really good. And there was a number of questions that went all over the place, but all theological.
I think there were like 8 or 10 questions that were asked from the live stream audience and the church.
Yeah, and so you guys, I think, would be more than blessed by that, and yeah, we praise God for it. So this topic specifically, and I want to talk about it because of some of the positions that we hold. We see people that may hold similar positions, and we think sometimes, especially on this specific topic, I think that sometimes they overstate things. It's the old-fashioned pendulum swing where they go a little too far regarding this. And if you want to know our position on this as a whole, you can check out our DVD, Left Behind or Led Astray. And you can also see Joe's debate on the pre-trib rapture or the post-trib rapture debate that took place in Colorado. And you guys can check that out. That was Joe Schimmel and Dr. Doug Stauffer. So you guys can check that out.
Yeah, it was a climax of Prophecy Conference in Colorado. Amen. They invited me to do a debate over there. We had a great time.
It really was a great time, and I thought that you articulated the position really well, and the debate went really well. And if you want to skim through it, you can skim through it, and you can always go to Left Behind or Led Astray and see my review on it to check out a little bit of the post-it notes, so you can go check it out yourself.
Yeah, the video Left Behind or Led Astray is totally different than the debate. It goes through the history of the rapture teaching and pre versus post and so forth, and we go all over the world interviewing people and so forth. It's really cool.
No, you guys definitely should check it out. So that would be a real, real blessing. And we have a number of teachings on this subject as well on our YouTube channel that you can find. But on this specific episode, instead of dealing with the timing of the rapture and when it will take place, we're going to talk about if it will take place.
The existence of the rapture.
The existence of the rapture, because I can show you comment after comment on some of our posts that say the rapture doesn't exist. It's not in scripture. In fact, I believe on the Christian Post, when Left Behind the movie came out, the newer one with Nicolas Cage, that was something that William Lane Craig said, that, hey, you don't find rapture in the Bible. That was actually one of his points, why Left Behind the movie was incorrect. So, Joe, we'll start off with that. I mean, is the rapture even in the Bible?
Absolutely. It's amazing. It's, you know, a lot of people are familiar with the scriptures, that many scriptures that talk about the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust, and they see the resurrection over and over again, but then they see a lot of things said about the rapture that aren't in the scripture. People that put the rapture long before the second coming, and some have even put the rapture 1,000 years before the second coming or so. Just people dividing the rapture up with the second coming of Christ, with the resurrection of the just. And therefore, they say, well, that's just a false teaching. The rapture is in the Bible at all. The rapture is absolutely in the Bible. If you want to say, you know, the word rapture isn't in the Bible, well, the word Bible isn't in the Bible. Biblios, you know, the Greek or the Latin word either, they're not in the Bible. And we use a Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic Bible, and there's no word Bible in the Bible, but the concept of the Bible is throughout the Bible, Word of God. The word Trinity isn't the Bible, but the triune Godhead is clearly in the Bible. And the concept and the teaching of the rapture, even the word rapture isn't used, the word harpazo is used. And that is a word that's used to over and over again of to be snatched or to be caught up with force. It's we translated different ways, but and Chad, you and I were looking at, you know, you're mentioning some of the verses that were in your heart, that in same verses I have for the most part. Listen to this and tell me the, you know, and Chad, why don't I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and then you read 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
Perfect.
And you locate, and we did discuss how we're going to go about this before our show, but you know, then you go ahead and locate it, the rapture there. Because I know where you're going to go there, and you know where I'm going to go here. Tony knows where we're both going to go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. So that you, and that's a biblical metaphor for death, those believers who have died in the Lord. So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. He doesn't want them to grieve over their lost loved ones in the Lord. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. So if they fall asleep in Jesus and they're dead physically, that would definitely, you know, be a resurrection of the dead in Christ, right? That wouldn't be what we're calling the rapture. That'll be the dead in Christ being risen, the resurrection. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, now this is not those who are asleep in Christ, these are those who are alive and remain. The Greek word remain can be translated survive as well. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. That's those who don't die before he returns. Let me read it again so it's real clear, because people, there are a lot of people saying, well, the rapture doesn't even exist. And we love our brethren that might be saying that, but for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, and this is based on the word of Jesus, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have been fallen asleep, or who have fallen asleep. Meaning we're not going to go before them. Because remember, he just said, the dead in Christ, or those who are asleep, are going to be brought with Jesus at his return. They're with him in spirit in heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if someone dies in the Lord, spiritually they're with him. We read in Revelation chapter 6 that the saints who are under the altar crying out to God, how long until you avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Hebrews chapter 12, I believe it is, that talks about the spirits of just men made perfect, those in who are enrolled in heaven. So there's a lot of scriptures that talk about those who've died are with the Lord in spirit in heaven. Paul said he desired to put off his body and go be with the Lord, which was very much better. So he says, those of us who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, whoever that is at Christ's coming, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. In other words, we won't go before those who fall asleep when he comes back. For the Lord, now this is critical, verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Yeah, big shout from the Lord. With the voice of the archangel. Archangel will sound. Boom. And with the trumpet of God. Okay? God's handing out trumpets that belong to him, to the various angels And there's seven different trumpets in the book of Revelation. And then he says this, and the dead in Christ will what? Rise first. Okay? This is a classic passage that tells us that when Christ comes and there's that shout of the Lord, man, and the trumpet blows, the dead in Christ will rise first. But then look what he says. Then, because we won't precede them, they'll go first. There they were, boom. They've just been resurrected. They're coming back with Jesus at his return. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain will be, what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There it is. There's harpazo. There's a catching up. You might be able to say, well, I don't like to use the word rapture. Well, guess what? Just circle that right there. Caught up. This is what I believe. I believe in the catching up. That's what the Bible talks about very clearly. Then we who are alive and remain, that's those who are not dead in Christ, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't know why would we want to deny that. I mean, you have to actually, to say there's no catching up, that the dead in Christ don't rise first, and then those who are alive and remain won't be caught up, is actually you're denying verse 17. I mean, I don't know, you know, how much clearer it can get. That word, it's hard to translate that. It doesn't say they'll be buried. It doesn't say they'll die and then they'll be resurrected. It says those who are alive and remain will be caught up. And Paul makes it clear. He says the dead in Christ, we will not precede those who have fallen asleep. They'll go first. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them, meet them in the clouds to see the Lord. And it's just very clear that there will definitely be a rapture. It's a beautiful, glorious teaching. You know, if we survive the tribulation period and should it come in our lifetimes, you know, many will die by the sword, it says. Those who will go into captivity will go into captivity. Those who are to be killed, the sword will be killed, the sword, Revelation 13. Others will be fleeing to the wilderness, you know. Some will say, it says in Isaiah, close your doors until my indignation is past. God will have different people doing different things. But guess what? There will be those at the end of the tribulation who will survive in prison, in the mountains, in their homes in certain parts of the world where maybe the mark of the beast hadn't reached certain areas, or they were hiding out and they couldn't get to him, and they'll be caught up. And and if I survive the tribulation, should it happen in my lifetime, you know what? If it's God's will for me to lose my head, I hope to testify of Jesus to the point until I lose my head. Or if he calls me to, you know, be with people and help people out during that time and survive it, should it happen in my lifetime? Wow, can you imagine seeing the lightning shining from the east? Jesus says it won't be in secret. You know, he said it'll be like lightning shining from the east to the west. You can't miss it. Every eye will see him coming. Amen. And can you imagine that? It'll be dark and gloomy. And then boom, man, he'll burst out through the universe like lightning shining from the east to the west. And boom, we'll be caught up, transformed. And I don't want to steal your verses, Chad. That's a good segue to you, bro.
No, that's really good. You know, and this last week, I think I've probably mentioned on the show, and you obviously know I've been doing this with the younger college group, is teaching a study on, I was doing soteriology, the doctrine of salvation, and then we have switched over to eschatology. And last week was the first message I did on that. And when I was a newer believer, probably about a year and a half, 2 years, I had a number of verses, and it still happens today where I write down my favorite verses, and then it switches, and then it becomes chapters. But Zechariah 12:10 was, yeah, still to this day, verse, is one of my favorite verses. And when I understood the prophetic meaning, especially aligning that with Romans 11 and understanding what's going on there. It's then beautiful. With Zechariah 14.
Yeah.
And then putting that with Acts 1. And I know I'm referring to these scriptures, but I'll do my best in explaining it quickly before I get to the text I want to get to. But in Acts chapter 1, we have Jesus leaving bodily, visibly. They can see him from the Mount of Olivet.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
from the Mount of Olivet.
Where he gave that end time teaching.
Exactly. Where he gave the end times teaching. And when he leaves, the angels tell the disciples, why are you going? He's going to come in like manner, right?
That's right.
Then when I read,
just as you've seen him leave, he's coming back the same way, amen, visibly. Yeah.
And then when I read in Zechariah 14 specifically, it's very interesting. You see the very beginning of Zechariah 14. A lot of times you hear a day of the Lord Zechariah 14 says this is a day for the Lord, and it says that Yahweh will step his feet on the Mount of
Olives.
That's
Jesus. He is Yahweh.
That's Jesus as Yahweh. It's the same Jesus that in Zechariah 12:10 it says they will look on Ayath, they will look on me whom they have pierced.
That's right.
And Matthew actually quotes Zechariah 12:10, and when he said, instead of saying me, he points to Jesus and said they will look on him, Jesus, the one whom they've pierced, and they'll grieve bitterly as they would for an only son. And I've always looked at those texts and I've thought, wow, that's so interesting, putting that with 2 Thessalonians 1 and 2 Thessalonians 2, which we'll get to.
And Revelation 1:7, behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kids here shall well because of him.
Even so, amen.
Amen.
And I look at all those texts, and it got me excited. In all honesty, we did it. Actually, I guess that was my second teaching, because this was on the millennium is why I was teaching on that. And the week before, I went through the Old Testament prophecies, prophesying of not only Jesus, but Alexander the Great, some of the really cool prophecies in the book of Daniel.
You were prophesying about Alexander the Great?
No. Daniel did. Very, very clearly.
I hear you.
And I thought, wow, this is so cool. And I was just getting really into it, and then studying the resurrection and the rapture and those things together. And I said, guys, whenever we think about resurrection, a lot of times if we're in apologetics and we're talking about apologetics, we're going to talk about Jesus's resurrection, right? And it's so important. Obviously, it's the gospel. If you do not believe in this, you've believed in, or if it didn't happen, you've believed in vain. Preaching is in vain, teaching is in vain, and your belief is in vain. You're still dead in your sins. That is what 1 Corinthians 15 says. And
That's right.
Went through the entire text, and I said, guys, I want to go through this entire text, because at the end, it's really going to get into something really cool. And something we need to point out, too, is that in that text, it is the promise of not only the resurrection that Jesus, that took place in the person of Jesus, actually resurrection, but that was a promise of the resurrection that will ultimately take place with our bodies as well.
Absolutely.
And so that's a huge point of emphasis. And I'm going to start in verse 50 so you guys can see it as well. It says, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So, well, I guess that we're not going to have bodies up there. We're just going to be spirits. No, he's going to finish this thought. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. Sounds very similar to what we were just reading about. But we will all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable and will be changed. For the perishable must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I've heard that used before. O death, where is your sting? As like a present life and text. While we do not weep like the world weeps, this is it talking about the end, okay? And ultimately, yeah, it is sad when people die. It should hurt your heart. You should be able to weep with those who weep, and we don't mourn as the world does, but this is something just practically that when we look at this, this is talking about the end.
Yeah.
This is talking about the perishable becoming the imperishable.
That's right.
And us getting glorified bodies.
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about the transformation of the not only the dead in Christ again, but we, those who are alive, will be transformed, will be changed, and good word, bro. Luke chapter 17. Before I go to Luke 17, I love Luke 17. But when you look at what Paul is talking about in 1 Thessalonians, and I won't read the rapture text again there, but when he says the dead in Christ will rise first, and that we who are alive and remain will be caught up, raptured, you know, to be with the Lord and with them. He goes on to say right after that, now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, the times of what? Context, he's talking about the rapture. When the Lord comes, the resurrection of the dead in Christ and the rapture of the believers, he goes, you have no need anything be written to you, okay? Because he goes on to say, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Now he's referring to the rapture there as coming like a thief in the night. I think it's very interesting because he's saying that this is based earlier on the word of the Lord. You go back to the word of the Lord. Did Jesus talk about himself coming back like a thief in the night. He absolutely did. And it's interesting, in Matthew chapter 24, does it talk about believers being gathered together at all when the Lord returns? Yeah, he tells his disciples to be on the watch, to be alert, to don't fall for these false secret comings in the desert or in the secret rooms, and that when he comes, it'll be obvious, like lightning shining from the east to the west, and so forth. And then he says in verse 42, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, if the head of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert, and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not think he will. In other words, you have to watch for the signs of the times. And he's laid out, it's not a secret coming where there's no signs. He just laid out all kinds of signs that would lead up to his return. And he stated right before, he states here that he's coming like a thief, he specifically talks about what it will look like, and specifically talks about how there will be a gathering of the believers. And he says right here in verse 29, a few verses before this, but immediately after the tribulation, those days the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And now check out verse 31, guys. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet. Ooh, there's a trumpet again Paul talked about. Remember Paul said it's according to the word of the Lord? Okay. Mm. And they will gather together. Check it out. They will gather together his elect. And that means chosen ones, his believers, chosen ones from the four winds, from one end of the sky to another. I think it's significant because Mark gives us a little bit more on that the way he describes it. Listen to what he says. And that's the way Jesus describes it in Mark. And he will send forth his angels, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds. Now check this out. From the farthest ends of the earth to the farthest ends or end of heaven. I love that. So you have this farthest end of heaven, farthest end of the earth, the elect gathered. Now Jesus just spoke of the elect, by the way, in Matthew chapter 22, a couple chapters earlier. He said, go to the highways and the byways, or, you know, that's the big banquet, right? But it's very similar to the wedding feast. He says, when he goes to talk about the wedding feast, he says to go out and invite whoever will come. At first, it's the Jews, but they weren't willing to come, right? They says, just go everywhere. And that would mean Gentiles as well. And then the judgment, many are called, few are chosen, few are elect. Who are the elect? All those who responded to his call, all the Jewish believers and all the Gentile believers, okay? So when he gathers his elect in chapter 22, a few chapters earlier, refers to all believers in general, right? Then he's talking to Peter, James, John, and Andrew here, right? Gathers his disciples, according to Mark 13, same as Matthew 24. It just gives us a little bit more insight from what each apostle had written there. We're told, you know, that those days would be cut short for the elect's sake. Who would they have in mind with regard to the elect? They're the leaders of the early church, right? They're about ready to lead the early church. He's preparing them for it, right? And he's telling them to be ready when you see this. So it's interesting that he tells them it'll be from the farthest ends of heaven, the chosen from the farthest ends of the earth. That sounds very familiar. Paul said, the dead in Christ, who are they? That's the farthest ends of heaven, guys, right? And we who are alive and remain, that's the farthest ends of the earth. We're all going to be caught up to meet each other in the Lord. And it's basically the same teaching. Tim LaHaye, author of the Left Behind series, he says this is the second installment of the rapture. So Tim LaHaye sees the rapture in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 here, as we do. He just believes there's a first installment earlier in Matthew 24. He says it's between a couple verses. Of course, he doesn't have a verse that shows installment 7 years earlier, but he says it's between this and this, if you could just see it, you know. Well, I can't see it, and that's, I guess, for next week. But there is definitely a rapture, brothers and sisters. And by the way, it's all over the scripture. In fact, you know, let me read from the book of Revelation. Of course, you should have it in the book of Revelation, right? Mm-hmm. And in Revelation chapter 14, it's interesting because a lot of people, they'll read this, and they'll just see the coming judgment at Armageddon. And they'll read in verse 15. They'll read verses 14 through following, you know, and they'll say, well, that there's Armageddon. But they'll miss verse 14 or read it as though it's one event. And I do believe it's talking about two parts of two events that are close in proximity. One precedes the other. But in verse 15, we are talking about Armageddon. And then I'll get back and read verse 14. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap. and the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. Then he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also had a sharp sickle. And the other angel, the one who has power over fire, came out of the altar, and he called out with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, "Put in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe." So the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vine and of the earth and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and the blood came up from the winepress up to the horses' bridles. Wow. For a distance of 200 miles. And now that's Armageddon, man. You go to the ghetto, guess what you're going to see? 200 miles of blood up to a horse's bridle in the Valley of Megiddo, which is a huge, huge expanse. So yeah, we're talking about Armageddon there. But guess what? I read some verses right into it that you might miss that talk about a separate reaping that's not to put not a reaping of grapes that are going to be smashed and create a river of blood, so to speak, but the rapture. Back up to verse 14. Before what I read comes to pass, and when part of what I read does come to pass, I'll read right into it. Listen to verse 14. This is different. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. How's Jesus coming back? Chad, you said in the book of Acts, what's going to happen?
He's going to come, step his feet on the Mount of Olives.
But in Acts 1, they saw him go up into
the clouds.
Yep. And they say he's coming back the same way. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man. That's a favorite title of him in Daniel. Having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Put in your sickle and reap." Remember the voice of the archangel? Yeah. Boom, now you got the archangel's voice. "For the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. Then he who sat on the cloud," that's Jesus, "swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped." Praise the Lord, brothers. That's the us being gathered together. Then right after that it says, "And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle," and that one leads into Armageddon. So just before Armageddon, brothers and sisters, there's another reaping that goes on when Jesus comes back in the clouds of glory as the Son of Man, and the angel says to reap at the voice of the archangel. So you even have the rapture in the book of Revelation. And I love my brothers and sisters, and if someone denies, hey, there's an actual rapture, I just hope and pray you'll look again at, you know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 right there, the 13th through 18, when it says the believers will be caught up in the air to meet him. It's very, 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 very clear. Chad read a very clear passage in 1 Corinthians 15. You know, we should not all sleep, right? But also, we shall be what? Changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. We thought about putting that in our nursery and for the kids, the toddlers, you know, we should not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
You know? No, but I was thinking about it because you mentioned the 1 Thessalonians 5 text about coming like a thief in the night. And in that same context, it says, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety,"
that's right,
"then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, that day will overtake you like a thief," which goes alongside with, and this is one of the reasons we want to talk about this subject, because how will it make you live? I hope differently than the end of Matthew chapter 24, where it says that the evil slave says in his heart, "My master is not coming for a long time," and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that slave will come on that day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and assign a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. No, not once saved, always saved either, but there is a rapture.
Amen, and praise God. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. Father, we pray in your Son's name that we would pay attention to the signs that you've given us, Lord, that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and that we pay attention to your word, Father, that we'd accept all that your word has for us. The rapture, praise you for that. And also, Father, that we would also accept the sufferings that you've allotted for us, Father, for you use those to transform us into your Son's likeness. And we praise your name for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.